Praise the Lord. Who is happy this morning to receive from heaven the Rhema words? I want to just have the pleasure to be the mouthpiece to introduce to you somebody special in the house. Hallelujah. We have in the house a beautiful daughter of the Most High God, a friend to this church. She has been with us years back. She is Evangelist Priscilla Wafula. She keeps looking younger and younger. I told her, you look 15. She's so beautiful. A wife and a mother of three boys, you can imagine. Three boys. A counseling psychologist, a mentor, and a mediator with Deliverance Church Omoja. She's passionate about revival for her generation. Can you please, with a round of applause, welcome Evangelist Priscilla to me. Let's appreciate Jesus. We can do better than that. Let's appreciate Jesus. Amen. From where we come from, we appreciate Jesus with a swag. Where are the Kenyans in the house? We make some noise in the house, you know? Because to some of us, by the reason of us being that we are counted among the living, is a testimony that is beyond money. The fact that the Lord has carried you through another week, ikado shataya, it means that you have every reason to glorify God. Because there's a place that money cannot take you. There's a place that your clan cannot take you. But there's a place that the grace of God carries you and takes you there. Can we appreciate Jesus? I want us to lift our hands before the Lord for a moment. From a place of understanding of the grace that found us. We who are nobodies in this world, but the grace of God and the mercy of God found us, lifted us from the miry clay, caused us to sit among kings, that we can be able to negotiate and legislate on behalf of others. I want you for a moment to lift up your hands if you may. And in your mother tongue, in the heavenly tongue, or in English or whatever, in Arabic, Kayanaye, let us give the highest praises of adoration to our Father. From a place of understanding, minus God, I would not have come this far. Lift up your voice, KCMI. Rakamayade Shetelele Bosia. Marano Seantelale Yanaya. Receive the highest praise, Jesus. We honor you with our words. We honor you with our Sekado Shetele Bahaya. We honor you with our lives. We honor you with a song and without a song. We glorify you, Jesus. We acknowledge it is you and not us who has carried us this far, oh God. We adore you. We appreciate you. Thank you so much, Lord. Kabra na Jose tele bayande. Riande masika talabaha yeshe tele baha. We honor you, oh God. We appreciate you, King Jesus. We enthrone you in this altar. We bow before you in reverence and worship. There is no other God beside you. Yerano Sayadaya. In your splendor, you remain to be God. There is none that can match you, O God. Yekadaya Nemasianaya. So, Holy Spirit of the living God, we surrender to you. That even in the minutes that we have, we pray. Let the spirit of understanding be unfolded unto us. Let the revelation of your word, Kayana Maya, Yerako Zanai, let it enter our very beings, O God, that we will leave this altar knowing that we had an encounter with you and that your name shall be glorified. Father, we appreciate you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's not my first time to be here. I've met the man of God and the woman of God. I was telling the woman of God, you are aging gracefully. And she told me, I'm aging gracefully. 26 years in marriage, 3 sons by the grace of God, 2 adults and 1 teenager. And the grace of God has carried us through. There's a grace that you carry when you have honored God with your life, that you age with beauty and glory. I have ministered with the man of God. I have honored the grace of God that he carries. But among the very many things that I love about him is that he has the heart of a father. He has the heart of a father. And I want to declare that in the name of Jesus, whoever that is sitting under this grace will be able to partake the grace that your father carries. That you will not have to wait until you are his age to be able to manifest the graces. But regardless of how young you are, if you can capture it in the spirit, you will operate in the same grace that he carries, that you may also be able to father your generation in the name of Jesus. But the one that God gave me when I came, I will share from the direction that the man of God gave me. But when I sat, when I came in this morning, the Lord gave me Joshua chapter number 4. Just for this, for the sake of, for the church, let me just say for the church, and let me just obey the spirit of God. And the Bible says that Joshua, being led of the Spirit of God, commanded Hayarado Sataya that the men be able to pick up memorial stones from the middle of the Jordan to come and raise an altar unto God. A memorial stone that when the children, the generations after Joshua would come and ask, what is the meaning of this? That Joshua would tell them, it is because one time when the Jordan was overflowing, the Lord commanded the men of God to step on the waters and the waters parted. And because the waters were parted, in the middle of the Jordan, we picked something. I want to declare over this church by the anointing and the grace of God, regardless of the seasons that we may have gone through, we still have memorial stones that we can bring in the altar. That what the enemy meant for evil, the Lord has turned it around for our good. That what that was meant to kill us has caused us to rejuvenate again. I want to declare in this church in the mighty name of Jesus, I know it's not too early for me to wake you up because I know the power of God is already in the house. But I want to declare, may the eyes of your understanding be open, that you can be able to locate the memorial stones, that you can pick that testimony, and you can say, when I was on that sick bed and I thought I was writing my will, Jehovah came and touched me and healed me. And this is a memorial stone for me. When my marriage was upon the rock, the Lord came and turned my story around. So I have a memorial stone. And I want to declare upon this altar, the memorial stones of the 7 years will be a testimony of what the Lord is able to do. May that be your testimony in the name of Jesus. And so when generations will come later who may not understand your story, you will tell them there's a time that the Jordan was overflowing. And we looked in our physical eyes and we knew we could not cross. But Jehovah happened on our behalf. But Jehovah came through for us. So I pray that by the understanding of the Spirit of God, your eyes will be open that you may pick up those stones. Those testimonies will never run out in this altar. That you will keep saying, this is what the Lord has done. We will keep counting our blessings and naming them one by one. But also we will raise it for the next generation. That they can know we have walked with God. That they can know we have a testimony from Jehovah. And that they can praise God even long after we are gone. In Jesus' name. We may have our seats in the name of Jesus. Book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 verse number 2. The theme verse, and then we see how far we will go. Praise the name of Jesus. Is it possible to have it on screen or do I? It's possible? All right. 1 Corinthians 16, 2. Kaya Labahashi Anamaya. Greetings from my husband and our sons, and greetings from my pastor. I am a woman under authority. I go when I'm sent. I don't go ahead of the sending. Let's do verse 1 and 2 so that we just get the foundation of this and then we run. Let's start from verse number 1 kindly. Verse 1. Thank you. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. Verse number 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Praise the name of Jesus. The writer is the man who's written a big chunk of the New Testament. Theologians say a third of the New Testament. A man who had had an encounter with God. We need to understand that the beginning of us has to be from a place of an encounter with God. The title of my message is Honoring God with All That We Have. Honoring God with all that we have. The genesis of the story of this man who was the former persecutor of the church, this man called Paul, is on one day the Bible says that he was going on the road to Damascus and he was going to persecute the church and he encountered the light of the word of God. That the genesis of this man becoming who he became was because of one encounter with the light of the word of God. A man who was doing business wrongly, a man who was persecuting the church of Jesus Christ, has a different encounter with another light at noonday. And the Bible says when he encountered this light, he knew this was not the light that he knew before. My prayer for us today, even as we go through the scriptures in the few minutes that we have, is that we may understand, never underestimate one moment of an encounter with God. Because when you have an encounter with this God, he is able to transform you and change you to become the person that he wants you to be. Now, I want us to understand our topic today is not limited on finances. Because finances is a small fraction of the honor that God is demanding of us. That if you have honored God with all that you have, then money will come together with all that you have. It is not the only thing, but it is a major thing. It is not a major, it's a minor thing, but it is part of what God is expecting of us to honor him with. So that I want you to shift your mentality from money to honor. So that when you can understand honor, money is not an issue. But if I come to talk about money, you will say, I was called from Nairobi to talk about finances. But when I'm talking about honor, then you will honor God with all that you have, and finances is among what you have. And we need to understand that by the encounters of God, money will lose its hold on us. That we will not be captive because of finances, but money will obey me because I will command my money to go where my money should be. Praise the name of Jesus. So this man has an encounter with Jesus at noonday, going to persecute the church. And when he has this encounter with Jesus, he does not need a pastor to introduce Jesus to him. Because he says, "Who are you, O Lord?" So I came to discover everything that is in us has an aspect of acknowledging God. My money has an aspect of acknowledging God. My voice has the language of acknowledging God. But it means what it needs is the encounter of the light of the word of God. That this light causes me to start seeing things in the perspectives of God. So the Bible says that he meets with him and says, "Who are you, O Lord?" And he says, you know the story, you cannot hit your feet upon thorns. And then we know what happened. But I don't want to go there. I want us to understand that when Paul, let's go back to my scripture. Let's go back to the verse number 1, kindly, so that we get it right. Kaya laba hadaya. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. That Paul is saying, you are not the only people that I'm addressing. There are other people who are recipients of the same word. So he's saying this message that is coming to you, KCMI, today is a universal message. It means that the Lord has given us access just as he has given many other churches concerning the same. But he said, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given the order to the church of Galatia, I want you also to do, I am giving the same command unto you. That the Lord is giving us instructions in this meeting today concerning the giving for the sake of the saints. Concerning contributions for the sake of what is needed in the house of the Lord. I thank God for the man of God who went ahead of me and said, this money is not for a man of God. He's challenging our perspective concerning the reason why we need to release what we have. From a place of understanding, it is not unto a person, it is unto a cause. That we need to understand the reason why God is reminding us through the book of Corinthians is that we need to get it right. That it is not about a man, it is about a cause. In the few years in the ministry, since the year 1998, by the grace of God, and I have done a few studies here and there concerning the very many things that the Lord would have me be alert with in the spirit, I've come to realize there is an attachment that human beings have with physical material things. There's a security that we have when we can hold on to something tangible. That is why we have no issue giving God our lives, because we cannot touch the spirit. But we have an issue giving things, because it is a security to us that I want to sleep with my money, because I want to wake up in the morning and count the reals. So when you talk about reals, I take offense. But when you talk about my spirit, because you know, we will go somewhere in the spirit, I can release the spirit. But something tangible, there is a hold upon the church of Jesus Christ that causes us not to enter in certain dimensions of blessings, because we have an attachment of the tangible things. If God spoke to someone in this meeting and said, give the man of God your V8, you have to hear God in your mother tongue, to some of us. He has to speak in your mother tongue and repeat thrice, because you will have rebuked him three times. But when he says, come and sing, you have no issue singing. Because a voice is not a tangible thing. You can sing. I want you to understand, so that by the time you are getting to the root cause, you have no issue. Thank you, man of God. At least I have the go ahead of the man of God. So if I told you that I want you to, or God has spoken for you, bless me with a house, or you bless me with a certain amount of money, you will first look at me and say, where has this woman come from? Wait a minute. Are you sure this woman has heard God? You know, let me go for 7 days and fast and pray concerning this. Why don't we fast and pray concerning souls, but you're fasting and praying concerning? Because we have an attachment as men. Because we want the assurance that this thing is mine. So I keep checking on my M-Pesa to some of us from Nairobi. So when the money goes out, I'm asking, what is the remaining amount? So I'm thinking, there's how many days left in the course of the month? 20 what days? So I'm trying to divide the money that I have in my M-Pesa balance so that I may tabulate it until the next salary. I want to tell someone in this meeting, the Lord is calling us to a place of honoring him faithfully, that you will know that your boss is not your provider, that your money is not your provision, that my provision is in Jehovah, that if he spoke to me today, I will release it faithfully, just as I released my heart to him on that day that I came unto him. So why this attachment? Because it gives us security. There's an assurance that on a rainy day, I have something at the back of my pocket. And I'm telling you, sometimes the rainy day will not come. And I can tell you, sometimes the rainy day will come when you have nothing. And it will still rain, and you will still wake up tomorrow. So the attachment and the connection we have is that we have not honored God with everything. Now, the place of honor, we need to understand, it is not just a word. It is a lifestyle. Just like I told God in that year of 98, that Father God, I have given you my life. I have been living a life of honoring God by all that I'm able to, because I know I made a commitment before God in the presence of men. So in the course of time, he's been teaching me of what else I need to honor him with. That I need him to be honored in my marriage. I need him to be honored in my parenting skills. I need to honor him in my preaching. I need to appear on time. Not because I'm the guest minister, but because I have honored God with the anointing that I carry. Because I know I am accountable before him, even as I'm accountable before men. Let's do verse number 2. Thank you, Jesus. Verse number 2. Now, concerning the verse number 2. Kindly, upon the first day of the week, we need to understand honoring God has its own timings. The reason why I'm saying that is we need to understand we do not have forever. The Lord was reminding me in the morning when Noah in the days of old was given a leeway, an opening for the people to come in, the entry point of the ark was not open forever. That is where we need to get discernment and understanding of the timings. Have you ever been in a place when you are in a dire need concerning something and you went to somebody, they were in a position to help you out, but they did not, because they did not feel the urgency that was in your heart concerning the cause? I don't know whether you have waited on people and they came on a wrong day. They came after you buried and you mourned and they're saying, I'm so sorry, I was not able to come. You're telling them, don't even forget, don't remind me about the mourning season. You want someone to come and sort an issue with you at a certain time, but they feel it's not of importance to them, so they will come at their own convenience. The business of the king requires haste. That is why the Lord is preparing us to know that you appear before God with the whole honor in your heart, in your wallet, in your mind, in your spirit, because there's a time frame that is open. A few months ago in a church that was ministering, by the grace of God, I have been an assistant pastor for some 8 years in one of our branches in Nairobi. And I remember this one time, it was a revival meeting and I was ministering in this church. And two drunk men came into the house. I'm an evangelist, so when I see them, those are my audience, those are my kind of people. So I saw them and I said, do not shut them out, let them come. In fact, I gave one of them my seat. And the Lord told me, these ones are candidates for salvation today. So I preached all my preaching. And I told them, the Lord is calling you to salvation. And the day of salvation is today. So one of them stood and came staggering, smelling not so good. I led him to salvation. And I said, the Lord is speaking to you too, my brother, that you may come and receive Jesus. He did not come. I left the altar. I went to where he was. Thank God for wireless mics. I went to where he was and I said, man of God, the Lord is calling you. You are supposed to be an evangelist together with me. Please. He refused. He refused. He was talking bad. I asked him, where do you come from? He said, he speaks the same language I speak from Nairobi. I spoke in my mother tongue. I begged that man to receive Jesus Christ. I irritated him so much that he stormed out of the church and went. Where the church is to the main road, it's like 5 meters. By the time he got, I'm not saying that it is because I was preaching. I'm just saying about the aspect of time. By the time he reached the 5 meters by the road, he was knocked off by a car and died immediately. That was my saddest day of a revival meeting. But I was telling God, God, I have done everything in my capacity as a woman of God to beg that man to receive salvation. But then I was walking with the other man who got born again. I told him, I don't know why the Lord loves you so much. Because if you had followed your fellow drunkard, you would not have seen the end of the day. And I told him, I want to declare in the name of Jesus, this evangelistic power that is so revivalistic has to fall upon you for the sake of our generation. Because you saw your brother coming in drunk. You had a chance just like he had a chance. You accepted the chance, but he did not. See where he is now. The aspect of time is that God is calling on us to be able to understand what he has given unto you still belongs unto him. You are just a steward of the resources of God. So whenever he needs it, you will appear. When the man of God called me and requested me to come, I had an option not to come. I would have come for holiday and refused to preach. Anointed, but sleeping on the anointing. But because I have the understanding that I don't have much time, I want to disperse the graces God has given unto me wherever I am invited, in the ability that God has given unto me, because I have no assurance about tomorrow. All I know is that I have today. So I have to deliver what God has given unto me today faithfully to the glory of his name. So he says on that first day, it's not about Sunday or Monday, because to us here Sunday is Friday. It is not about a day per se. It's about discerning times and seasons. It's about knowing what is expected of you. It's about people who will carry the burden of God after this meeting, that you can choose that you will pay a certain bill in church and you do not have to address it on social media. That you can come and say, man of God, I feel led that I want to do this and this as I partner with God, because I want to honor God with my finances. Praise the name of Jesus. So he says the first day of the week, you will bring, just let it continue running. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you, point number two, it is a personal decision that you have to make. Let every one of you, we come from different backgrounds, we come from different salaries, let me see, backgrounds or whatever, but you have to know that the Lord is calling unto you as a person. It is a personal decision that you have to make on what you need to honor God with in your life. We need to understand the Lord is not coming to pick it out from you. He's bringing the light of his word, that out of that light, you may be able to see what you need to do and then make a step in obedience and do what is expected of you. So the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. Praise the name of Jesus. It means that it is in accordance to what God has given unto you, not in accordance on what you're waiting on God to give you. Because to some of us, we are very good in doing our calculations. And so you're telling God, with this that I have in the months that are remaining and with the agenda that I have for December, I cannot be able to do one, two, three. God, you will understand. Let me tell you one thing, he will not. Because he has given you the capacity. He's given you the ability to be able to think from his perspective. That God, when you call on me, I will answer. And then you will sort my tomorrow because I have a covenant with you concerning the blessings. Praise the name of Jesus. So he says, according to what God has given unto you. So he's not asking of what he has not given unto you. And I can tell you to everyone in this meeting, everyone has something that God has given unto them. So God is not asking out of your empty. He's asking of out of the abundance of what is given unto you. And all of us are operating in abundance if we have Jesus Christ. That which we could not buy with money. Money is a very small thing. We should not be deceived by the enemy. So he's saying each and every one of us should give in accordance to what you have purposed in your heart. So it means the Lord has spoken to us and prepared us in advance concerning what we should do in partnership with him. The reason why he says that you should be prepared and you should understand what you need to do even before you come is that the Lord would want us to deal with the spirit of manipulation in the altar. Because the reason why some of us are manipulated in the altar is because you have not had a divine walk of the leading of the spirit of God before you came concerning your finances. So we can plan for our rent, we can plan for our holidays and vacations, but we do not plan for that aspect of honoring God. So anytime we come to church, when I say I hear in the spirit, someone sure should give me 5,000 riyals, and you came with 5,000 riyals, and then you're saying the woman of God came all the way from Kenya, and then you came giving, then later you're waiting on God and you're saying, I did not get any benefits of this. Did you hear God? Or did you hear the woman of God? It means that I should come to confirm the word of God in your spirit, that by the time you're talking about what you need to do, the spirit of God will remind you, I had spoken to you prior. In the few years in the ministry, one of the things God has led me and my husband to do is to be able to invest in church on seats. Any church that the Lord has allowed us to partner with the man of God, he's given us a burden for seats. Now, I can tell you, we do not give because we have a lot of money. I remember one of the times when we were being sent to be able to partner with this man of God on this church, my husband had lost his job. But because we have a covenant that is binding us, we did not sit down to calculate about how this money would be used. We said the first thing that we will do, we will honor what we promised God concerning seeds. So the money that was remaining was equivalent to the seeds that the Lord has told us to be able to give. Now, we did not consult the man of God, but the day that we went, the man of God was in prayer concerning seeds because he had built a new sanctuary. So the number of seeds that we took was the exact number the man of God had told God to give for the church. So we just became part of the blessings of God. Not because we want the man of God to know us, but because we know this is the place where our blessings are anchored in God. And I can tell you, it did not take long after we partnered with God concerning those seeds. My husband got a better, bigger job with a better pay. They even gave him more than he had received from the former job. So when we came back the next Sunday, we were asking, what else can we give in church This thing is working, and it is working very fast. I want to encourage you to partner with God. Partnering with God is more than partnering with man, because man is limited, but God is limitless. I want to encourage you and challenge you today. May you partner with God. A few things that I want us to pick. Number one, giving is an act of love unto your God. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, 13 to 14. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 to 14. And John 3, 16. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Verse number 14. Let all your things be done with charity. Another version says, let all things be done in love. If you are coming to give unto God, if you're coming to partner with God, let the foundation of the partnership be out of love. Because if you love God, you cannot withhold anything from him. That is why in John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. That before the giving, there was the foundation of love. So if you are a lover of God, you cannot withhold anything from him. And if it is in the character of our Father to give, it should be in our DNA to give. That we keep looking for an opportunity to give, because we have the blood of our Father running through our streams. So giving is an act of love. Kaya namaha. Giving is an act of worship. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. From the days of old, David would say before the presence of God, I cannot offer to the Lord that which has cost me nothing. That he was saying, if it is so free, there's no mark of a sacrifice on it. It's like just giving because you are passing by somewhere and there was a need that you met and you don't care about it. The reason why it's an act of worship is because the Lord is searching for worshipers. And worship is beyond what we do. It is who we are. That we worship him with all that we have, but more so in truth and in spirit. That I'm not playing games with God concerning my giving. I'm not playing games with God concerning doing the figures. And you know, God, this one, there's change here for me. I'm telling God, you've given me everything. All you're asking for me is a small portion. I can give you everything because it is an act of worship. We need to understand that the act of worship is not for selfish people. It is for selfless people. That is why when God was giving his son, he gave his best. He did not have another option. So if we have the same character in our hearts concerning giving, then we will give freely as an act of worship. Lord, I come with all that I have. Lord, I come with all that you've given unto me. I come to worship you. And I can tell you, God is not in need of what we have. It is him who's given unto us. He's testing our heart on how much, kaya na maya, how much we have loved him, how much we cannot withhold in his presence. So when we come to give, we come to give with everything, but with the right attitude, and more so in truth and in the spirit. So the spirit of truth will remind you of what you need to do. And I can tell you, it's not too late for us to begin doing it right. It is never too late for us to start doing it right in the presence of God. And you come and tell God, I have been doing it sparingly. But Lord, teach me to do it right. The Spirit of God is available. Beyond teaching us the spiritual things, he teaches us on management and being good stewards of the resources God has given unto us. I may not expect many amens, but I came with mine. Just in case you deny me. Matthew 6:21. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure, the things that matter, the things that we value, the things that we have ensured in our lives, where those things are, that is your heart. That is where your heart is. That is why to some of us, we act differently on a certain season of the month, depending on how well the treasure has been pumped. So you come with your head lifted because there's a pay rise. And you come in the middle of the month dragging your feet to church because there's nothing, your pockets are empty. But to someone who has the understanding that our treasure is not as the treasure of the world. Our treasure is the investment of God in our hearts first. So when he has dealt with my heart, everything else that is physical will have to align with where my treasure is. So if my treasure is in God, everything is in God. So the weighing scale and the measuring rod is in God. Praise the name of Jesus. So where is your treasure this morning? Because that is where your heart is. That is why when we touch some hearty issues, people leave. People get offended. But when you touch things that are not very valuable to them, they have no issue with you. But I pray that in this meeting, by the grace of God, your treasure will be in God. Above the place where no moths or rats can be able to touch them. That when you have an encounter with God, you can tell him, God, everything minus nothing. I cannot withhold anything from you because my treasure is in you and you are the giver of everything in life. Giving is a personal responsibility. Just write in the interest of time, 2 Corinthians 9:7. As each and every one of us has purpose in their heart, so you obey in giving. As you have purpose, it is a response. Just like you purpose to come to church, you chose the outfit you wanted to wear today. Just the same way you need to prepare and purpose in your heart on what you want to do in the house of God. When the man of God was reading concerning the departments of service in church, I was just looking and I was saying, it's an open check. You can't say there's nothing for you in church. You can't say every docket is taken. There's room for all of us in the house of God. But you have to purpose in your heart. And you have to choose what you want to do in accordance to the graces God has given unto us. So it is a heart resolve. You purpose in your heart on what you need to do. Praise the name of Jesus. So giving is a personal responsibility. Praise the name of Jesus. Giving is an act of obedience unto God. That if I am obedient to the instructions of God, I will not only hear about the anointing and the revival that is available, I will hear about every other detail. And if I'm an obedient son of God, it means in accordance to the instructions I have been given, so will I act. Most of us are hearers, but you're not doers. Because giving causes you to be able to obey the word of God and obey fully. Giving is a personal revelation. One time we had a meeting in South Africa, and a man of God was giving a testimony that I love giving. And he was saying he came to preach in a service, and there was one man who was toothless. I wish I would say it in our Swahili language. Kibogoyo. He was toothless, no tooth. And he was among the leaders in the front seat. And so in the revival meeting for the 1 week, he used to look at this man, and he was very sad about this man. And he was saying in my heart, God, if you allow me, I would want to give this man teeth, even if it's artificial. And every time he prayed that prayer, God said, no, do not put teeth on his mouth. And he was asking God, why? And then on the last day of the meeting, he said, watch and pray with your eyes open during the giving time. A leader. And so he was very irritated on that season, the timing of giving. His facial expression was of a person who was very angry with God concerning this thing. So when the basket was being passed by, he was saying the baskets were being passed by, he was closing his eyes and he was very bitter about that basket. And the Lord told the preacher, the guest minister, that is why he will remain toothless, because the attitude of his heart is so. And you see, there are some things that God brings to us just to bring us to a place of understanding that he sees the motives and the intentions of our hearts. That you are so bitter about that issue, do not address that issue. Anything else, we are praising and singing, but when you go to this thing of partnering with God, you are very bitter. And the Lord, who sees the motive of the heart, says, you're going to be toothless a little bit longer until. So it is a personal revelation that you give out of your personal encounter with God. You are not giving to a needy God. You are not sowing to a needy God. But you're giving to a God who is concerned about the things that he has in store for you, even for the future. May that revelation come to our lives in the name of Jesus. Proverbs 11:24. This one we have to read. This one we will read for me. Because there's a system in the world that does not align with the system of God. There's a place like, that looks like we are wasting. But in the kingdom of God, we are not wasting, we are investing. And there's a system that shows us that you acquire everything and you keep everything. And the Lord is saying, in that system, you still have lost. Because it is a revelation that the Spirit of God gives you. Proverbs 11, 24. There's one. Mm-hmm. There's one that scatters and yet increases. And there's one that withholds more than his meat, but he ends in poverty. Just that. There's one who scatters. Sometimes it looks like it's a, in Kenya we say like it's a throw. Like you're giving out too much. Like this thing is every other day. But remember, Paul is saying to the church, every beginning of the week. So he's saying, after you have done everything that you need to do, start the next week with God by honoring him. So there's one that scatters, but still increases. So there's one who gives, because in the principles of God, give and shall come back unto you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over. So it means that the more you give, the more you are investing. Because to us, giving is not throwing away. It is investing in God, who does not owe any man nothing. So it says the more you give, the more you receive. The more you invest, the more you get it back. I want to challenge the church of Jesus Christ. Giving should never be a burden, because we have a personal revelation that we may look like we are scattered, but we are increasing. That is why Paul would say, in Jerusalem church, there should be no need. We have the widows, we have the orphans. But then he says, God is asking us to partner with him concerning meeting the need. And Paul was a tent maker that time. So he was not asking for his own money. He was saying, because I don't want to be a burden to anyone, so I am making tents. But then he says, there's a need that should not be there. And then he's telling them, I do not want us to raise money when I come. So I want you to prepare in advance so that you can give the measure that the Spirit of God has ministered to you, and you are giving it willingly and you are giving it right in time that you may meet that need, so that by the time I'm coming, we do not have to coerce you to give, because there's an investment that is prior made because you had a personal revelation of the Spirit of God concerning what you need to do. So we may look like we are scattering. Maybe in this meeting we are talking about this, but God is also ministering something else to you concerning investing in God, because this is not the only place that we can talk about giving. It's another person that you may need, someone who has an issue, someone that you will support, people that will never be known in church that you supported. It may look like scatter, but the Lord is saying it is increase for you. Because if I'm scattering in God, I am investing for the sake of my future. So in your day of need, you will not lack someone supporting you. In your day of want, you will find that people are coming, because your investment, your bank is not running on empty. Your fuel is not on empty, because there's an investment that is picking at the gate. So in your day of trouble, Jehovah God, who remembers the investments of the children of God, will command someone to come and give back to you, so that it will be a memorial stone of what you did, even if people did not understand of what you did. Praise the name of Jesus. So to them it is scatter, to us it is investment. To them it is wastage, you are giving too much. To us it's an investment, because you sure know that our God will not be a debtor to any man. That the investment that you have made in the kingdom of God, he will sure repay. Praise the name of Jesus. Rakobaya. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. He who sows sparingly. The Lord is telling you, I'm looking at the way you do it. Not what you do, but the how. But this I say, he who sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he who sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Our God is a God of maths. He looks at how we do it. Dropping something little, it's too much. We've talked so much about this. He says, as you do it bountifully. So the attitude of your heart has to be the attitude of our Father. Our Father spends on us bountifully. Our Father does not limit his love on us. Our Father does not limit giving us things. He's not a mean man. He is a giver, a generous giver. So he's saying, if you have my heart, if you have the understanding of who I am, You will do it the way I do it. So you can say, ask for the moon. Be extravagant in my presence. Do it as I do it because I'm your father. So for us to represent the agenda of God in our system or in our season, we have to have the DNA of our father running through our streams. So I'll finish by saying this. Where is the honor of God in what God has given unto you? There is nothing that we have not received from above. It is not in your energy. It is not in your intellect. It is not in the way you know how to do things right. It is a grace that is released upon your life. And the Lord is saying, I'm testing your obedience in this one thing. Will you do it in accordance to my will? I want to know the motive of your heart. Are you only doing when people can see it? Or is it an attitude of the heart? What is the posture of your heart in accordance to releasing the resources that God has given unto you? Why is it burdensome to you? Why is it so much trouble? It means there's a heart issue that the Lord needs to sort this afternoon. That he's telling you, if I deal with your heart, you will overcome the lusts of the things of the world. When I deal with the posture of your heart, I will allow you to see things the way I see them. That the more you give, the more you will receive. The more you allow me to be involved in your finances, the more I'll be able to invest back unto you. I can tell you there are times that I didn't understand these things and I used to be a crazy saver. I have no issue with saving, but I'm telling you there's a demon that people have at times that every coin, you're going with the market with a calculator. You cannot even eat more than you had. You're even mean to yourself. The first time I came to Doha in 2010, I came with a Kenyan calculator. 50 riyals. In Kenya, this is a throw. And I remember that my host that day told me, if you come with a Kenyan calculator abroad, woman, you will go home naked. You will go empty. Because you're coming with the mentality of where you came from. And so the math is not mathing. So you're trying to add the figure and they're not adding up. And then the Lord slapped me and told me, if I paid your ticket and brought you here, what is it that I cannot do for you? I can feed you. I can take care of you. I can buy your clothes. I can buy your shoes. And I can give you surplus. That is the day that I came and I surrendered my calculator before God. And I told Jehovah, what you want me to wear, I will wear. Not because I have all the money in the world, but because I have a father who is extravagant, who owns silver and gold and cattle upon 1,000 hills. I want to challenge somebody in this meeting tonight. Do not limit yourself by your thinking. Do not limit yourself by your calculations. Allow Jehovah to break through your resources, to break through your pocket, to break through your wallet, that you will not withhold anything from him. So that there shall be no need in the altar, so that the name of the Lord will not be put to shame. Shall we rise up on our feet in the name of Jesus? It is an act of love. It is where your treasure is. It's an act of worship. It's a personal responsibility, a matter of the heart. It has to be an intentional purpose in your heart. It's an act of obedience. It is a personal revelation, karamaya. It's a posture of the heart. I want to give you a chance to pray for yourself because I may not know where you are. And I'm very sure that the Lord comes to reveal these things to us, to redeem us from the bondages that have held us. Yaramaya, that you may allow your heart and your treasure to be in God. And not in the things that is given unto you. That this attachment to the things that are physical should not deter you from worshiping God. Open up your mouth and pray for yourself. Lord, we surrender to you. Lord, you are speaking to all of us, including the preacher this morning. And Father God, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, set us free from these bondages of owning things and putting treasures in places where moth will be able to get and put rust on them. But I pray that by the revelation of the Spirit of God, cause us to know that this is a very small fraction of what you've given unto us. But what is expected of us is that the posture of our heart be right before you. That we will understand it is an investment for you, Jehovah God. That we should prepare before we come for the sake of these. Even as we prepare to go to our offices, oh God. So shall we set time apart to prepare for the sake of where you want us to be. Spirit of the living God, reveal unto us the purpose that you have given us these resources, oh God. It is for the sake of the kingdom agenda. That is where, when the children of Israel were living captivity, and Moses was standing before Pharaoh and said, we are taking our men, our children, our youth. We are taking the gold and the silver. We are not even leaving our hoofs behind, for we may not know what the Lord might need for our worship as we go to worship him. Lord, cause us to worship you with everything that we have, with our lives, with our souls, but more so even with our resources, oh God, that your name shall be glorified, oh God. So Spirit of the living God, I pray. And even as this one has come in simplicity, oh God, reveal it in bits that we can be able to comprehend in our spirits, that everyone will look for an opportunity to partner with you and to invest in you, oh God, that your name shall be glorified. Thank you, Lord. We honor you. Teach us to honor you with our substances, oh God. Teach us to honor you with our substances, oh God, that your name shall be glorified. We appreciate you and we honor you. And as I come to a close, maybe you came to this meeting and you're not born again. You cannot honor God if you have not had a personal encounter with him. Beyond being a member of a certain church, the Lord is calling us to a personal relationship with him, where you have an assurance that he's your father beyond being a member of a church. And if you're in this meeting and you're not born again, I would not want to close without introducing this Savior, this lover to you, who gave everything for you, who traded his life, he who was sinless and came into your space that you may be saved. And I can tell you, time is not on our side, Church of Jesus Christ. And the Lord is quickening the church back to a place of holiness, righteousness, and purity. That even as we honor him with our substances, we honor him with our lives. If you're in this meeting and you're not born again, I will request you to lift your right hand and I will see you from here that I may pray with you. We don't have to close our eyes. It's a personal decision that you make. You know you're in this meeting. Other than being a giver, other than having your name on the record, you have not had a personal relationship with Jesus. Lift up your hand if you're here and I will see you. Here you're not born again. You're here, you're not born again. The Lord is calling on you. He's waiting on you. He says, my mercy, Kayana Maya, will locate you. I will transform you and change you. You're not born again. Lift up your hand. I will see you. Anyone in our midst who is not born again? All right then. Father, as you've given unto me, freely I've given to your people. And I thank you because we may be limited in time, but you will teach us, oh God, in the language that we can understand. So Lord, where you need to take us as a church, take us, oh God. And even as we lift up these memorial stones unto you of your faithfulness, oh God, may your name be glorified. Lord, I honor you for this opportunity and I appreciate you. In Jesus' name I pray in thanksgiving. Amen.
It was written about me to do your will, oh God.
Can you pray for the woman of God? She has given so much. Let's pray for the release of grace and greater oil and anointing and greater manifestation. After this meeting, she has other meetings. Let's pray for her right now. Come on. That the Lord will refuel her spiritually. Fill her more with the grace of God. And use her for her poor, for the purpose of the kingdom and for the end time. Release, oh God, your mighty finger upon your daughter. Let her be an oracle for the world and the kingdom of God. Lord, amplify her voice. Amplify her voice, Sakiba, to this generation, oh God. Let the perpetual door be open for her in the name of Jesus. That the doors of ministration will never be short, oh God. Thank you, Father, for touching us. As the word has touched your people, so shall you touch her. That expectation shall be turned to manifestation. Let there be proofs of God's mighty hands upon your life. In the precious name of Jesus. Put your hands together for the glory of our God. I thought you can do better than that. Hallelujah.